What's going down, podcast listener? Welcome back to the Symbiosis Now podcast. I'm Tyler Colombaro, and I'm the host of the show. And on this show, we like to have a good conversation. Every episode, guaranteed. All in hopes of inspiring you to get out there and have your own open conversations with a friend, a family member, or maybe even your enemy. Each episode, we star a special guest where we have an in-depth, action-packed, often intellectual, spiritual, practically psychedelic, and all-inclusive types of conversation. And we have a good fucking time with it. So folks, you can find us online. We're the Symbiosis Now Network, where there's some links to the podcasts, plural podcasts, because we have a couple others underneath the network blanket. And without further ado, let us voyage into the yonder of conversation with our very special guest on the Symbiosis Now podcast. Folks, we are here with Mike Guido, owner of Guido's Martial Arts Academy. He's a martial arts instructor, he's a motivational speaker, and he's dedicated to empowering and educating the community through martial arts training. He's my father-in-law, he's a bad mofo, and I'm super excited to have him here with us.
Mr. Mike Guido, how the hell are you, bro?
I'm good, man. It's good to be here.
I'm super happy to have you here.
Thanks, man.
No doubt.
This is so cool. This is like an honor for me to kind of be here. I've been wanting to do this for a long time with you, but I haven't had a free moment, and you've been busy, and we've been busy, and so now, like, we just made it happen.
Yeah, it's remarkable that you're my father-in-law, and I've been doing this podcast for years, and you're always on some other level, going all over, doing crazy cool stuff, and I feel like I just never thought that you'd want to. I don't know why. I just felt like it maybe wasn't your scene. Maybe it's because I talk too much shit on here. I don't know. And like to be associated with me, but I think that I don't push too much. Everyone that listens know I don't push the envelope too much. I just like to talk about certain things that are controversial sometimes and whatnot. But
controversy is good.
I think so too. Yeah. I think it makes sense out of things that don't make sense sometimes, even if it's just for entertainment.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. You're an entertainer. Two, you're a performer. I feel like from a distance, before I really knew you more, you know, like when you first started dating my mother-in-law, I felt like this guy's a bad mofo. He's got tattoos. He knows how to drop kick me right now. And then as I got to know you, I'm like, dude, he's also kind of a sweetheart. Like he has a heart. Like he's not a cold man. Like, you know, and he's about the community. And he's never stopping at getting to the next level. And I don't know what level you're at with the black belt thing, but I know when I tell people, like, my father-in-law's like an 8th degree black belt. Is that true? How many degrees, and what does that even mean when you're a degreed black belt?
It's close. So I'm a 6th degree black belt.
Okay.
So 8th would be, you know, I'd be a little bit older. But so I've been doing martial arts since I was 7. So I started it back in 1986. I watched The Karate Kid and when it first came out, and I was like, oh, I want to do that. So I got the headband and the whole gig, and I was a short little pudgy kid, and school sports weren't back then, you know, you're 7, you don't really have a school sports option back then. And so so I started doing karate because I just never fit in. My parents didn't really have enough money to put me into like an organized, like, I know there's kids now that have like t-ball and organized football at that age, and back then there was really nothing. So I started training martial arts.
And where was this, in Fresno?
Yeah, so my mom's friend, her husband had a little school inside his garage. No, it wasn't even a school. He just taught out of his garage.
So did he kick kids' ass for fun and then just charge them money?
No, it wasn't like that. No, it was weird. If you think back, man, it was like, that's kind of weird. But he was like, you know, his garage was like a full, he had like carpet on the floor. He had a couple hanging bags. He had like posters all over the wall with mirrors. And we just learned like basic blocks and kicks and punches. It was just me and him. And so, and then after a couple months, he was like, all right, I think you're ready to go to my school. And so he trained at a martial arts school in town called the Way of Japan. So back in those times, there wasn't a lot of karate, especially for kids. So started training at the Way of Japan. It was a, you know, hardcore Japanese Shotokan karate school. And so for those of you who don't know, if you can imagine that movie where you got a guy that's got the white karate uniform on and they're like, oh, yeah. Right, kind of, you know, hard punching and loud, ayah, ayah. That's kind of like what it was, right? So,
okay,
there wasn't a lot of bags. You know, I remember this is in the mid '80s, so there wasn't any UFC. You know, there wasn't any jiu-jitsu. You know, martial arts was mainly taught to adults, and they had just started figuring out how to teach it to kids. And they were horrible at it, by the way. By the way, teaching kids martial arts back then was so bad. But, and so you had a lot of turnover. But me, because I didn't have any other outlets, I just stuck with it. I was just kind of dumb. I'm like, I don't have anything else to do. I'll just go to karate.
But it was probably interesting, right? Like, outside coming in, it's just like, yo, what is this? Like, this is something else. Like, did you find, like, do you find yourself to be a misfit and find yourself fitting in misfit places? Because I feel like that, but... That's just me. I'm a weirdo.
No,
or was it more just because it's just what you were doing and just...
Well, it was weird back then. Like, you didn't tell anybody you did martial arts.
Oh, okay.
Because it was like... It was a secret. Well, people would make fun of you.
Oh.
You'd go to school and people would be like, oh, yeah, you do karate. Hi-ya. They didn't think that karate was a thing that worked. They didn't, you know, they thought it was just for the movies. Because think about it. Back in the mid-80s, there was no karate mainstream. So there was no... Like, nobody, there was no UFC, there was no mixed martial arts.
There was wrestling, right? And that was like the only
Well, wrestling was in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And then there was boxing. So mm-hmm. everybody thought boxing was the be all end all because mm-hmm. a lot of times there was, you know, spoofs and things, and people didn't think that karate was actually effective in maybe a real street situation. And uh-huh. so, and in some cases, that's a true statement. We'll get to that a little bit later on. I'll kind of explain to you after a while, but
for sure.
But yeah, so I started doing that, and then trained, and then and I didn't really do much else. And then about 10 years later, me and my original instructor, the man from the garage, we started. He opened up he moved from the garage to the backyard. So he and I trained in the same karate school, but then he moved it to the backyard and created like a backyard dojo, like a full-on like platform with, you know, a mat with some bags. And so for about, I don't know, I'd say 15 years, what is that, 95, we started that. And then, yeah, about 15 years, that was kind of the gig, man. We were doing the backyard dojo thing. We'd have guys come from all around and come train with us. And it was a small, little, intimate, you know, we never had more than maybe 15 students, but it was like lots of hard training, lots of repetition, lots of fundamentals, and that was kind of the feel. And at that point in time, I grew up. I was in my 20s. I was working. I was trying to do, you know, kind of what you're doing, trying to do life, and but still training 2 to 3 times a week, right? Just keeping that going because it was kind of like my mental escape. Because life's tough, man. It's mentally taxing.
For sure.
It was always my mental escape. And so in about 2010, he retired, said, all right, we're going to open up this karate school like a legit karate school. And we're going to build it up, and then you're going to take over one day, and that's kind of be the flow. I said, all right, cool. And so we opened up in 2010, and we started out with like 3 students and just kind of built it and worked it. And then... About 5 years ago, kind of passed by, and then he was like, what happened was I would always try to make it bigger. I would always try to make it better, try to make things. It would, because remember, old school karate, not very good teaching, right? That's why there was a lot of turnover, a lot of, quits and things like that. Kids would start karate. Oh, it sounds cool. And then after about 6 months, I'm bored with this.
And maybe why in the West it didn't take off as much because of that, because somehow just bad teaching. And maybe it was it made, I guess, because you said it was like you get made fun of doing martial arts.
Right.
Was that because there was such a high turnover and they saw people, oh yeah, they do karate for like 6 months and then they're done? Or was it because it's not so westernized? I don't know. In the East, maybe it was more common for people to go through a martial arts thing and learn how to defend themselves. In American culture, it was more like you join the military if you want to do that shit.
Well, if you think about the East, if you think about, Asia,
yeah,
Japan,
yeah,
China, what? I don't remember the last time during those times. I didn't see any football teams in Japan.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see any T-ball. They don't do T-ball.
It had in Japan. A place. It had a niche to fill. Lack of sports.
It was what you did.
Uh-huh.
You grew up
physically.
That was what you did. You mm-hmm. grew up in a time where there wasn't a lot of options for you. In the East and the West, there's a little bit more options.
Right.
And so. So yeah, and so we started that school, and then I was always trying to make things better. I was always trying to change the narrative. I was trying to grow as an instructor, grow the programs, make them better. Like you see a situation, because in my mind, every single human should do martial arts, every single one. If everybody did martial arts, you'll be surprised how much better the world would be.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be going to the wake house on a Saturday night. And some dude's gonna pop off.
Yeah.
that wouldn't happen.
Right.
Because you know that that dude standing across from you could literally jack you up. And if you did martial arts, you would never want to pop off on anybody anyways, because that's what you do all day. You mm-hmm. train. Mm-hmm. So everybody would be kind. Everybody would go to a venue and be nice and kind, and you'd never deal
more
with
fights. More tapped into that understanding that someone else could fuck you up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, period. Instead of just assuming they won't hit me, they won't do shit.
Yeah.
We live in a society where no one does shit. Like, in a bubble where people, like, seem that, like, no one's violent. People right. are violent.
But people know? Are violent.
On the street, all of a sudden someone come up behind you, mug you. Now you're like, damn, I wish I was more cool, calm, and collective and been training. I get what you mean. Right. I feel like I should be more, too. I think about this stuff all the time, but I really should be training to get it out of my system.
Yeah.
So that way that those paranoias, those worries, those possibilities, when the moment happens, they're not in my mind. They're gone. They're I'm already used to that pressure, that stress of getting in an altercation purposefully on the mat.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of out in the world where someone wants to knock you out. And you think that you have to fight them when you don't.
No.
You do that on the mat.
You do right? that on the mat. That's right. You hit the nail on the head. It's exactly it. When you, on a weekly basis, go out there and you train in martial arts. Now, again, we can sit here and debate different styles this, different styles that. All styles have their benefits. You know, that's kind of why in our school we've mixed them all. Because
right.
Because in my opinion, there's no perfect style. So we've uh-huh. kind of mixed them, but... You're out there on the mat, man, and you're getting it, and you're you know, working on your balance, your flexibility, your spatial awareness, understanding like what's going on around you.
Right.
It you know, you don't have to go out there and fight, and then you don't have to worry. You're aware, but you're not worried. It's kind of like right. driving your car. If you're driving when you're like 16 and you first got your license, you're driving that car and you're like looking all around and you're, you know, white knuckling the steering wheel and it could be traffic and you're like, oh my God. But then after you get some experience, man, it could be traffic, everything going, and you're just one hand on the wheel, looking around, talking to your wife, talking to your kids in the background, chilling, and you're, you know, moving in through traffic, hitting your turn signal, popping back, looking at your, everything's just kind of natural. You're not stressed out about it.
Confidence, but also yeah. like more, less pressure. I don't know. Yeah, confidence like that thinking, you're okay.
Like,
you know?
Like thinking, but you're not thinking, right? We call it in, what we call it is misu no kokoro, which is a Japanese term for mind like the water.
Okay.
So you approach things and you don't want to throw ripples into the lake. So you think of your mind as a clear lake. And so you have that concept. And your next concept is going to be something called zanshin, which is like remaining mind. Where you're in that moment where no matter what you're doing, you're just kind of in the moment, not thinking, but you're aware, right? So it's kind of like, let's say you and I are walking down the street. Me, you, and my beautiful grandson, your son.
Yeah.
And let's say he's like 4. Uh-huh. And we're walking down the street. You're holding his hand. I'm walking with you. And there's a big hole in front of us. You and I will automatically just, without even thinking, just kind of sidestep, pop around the hole and move. But he is going to stop. He's going to look at the hole. Look at me. Look at you. Dad, what do I do? Like, I don't know what to do. And you're going to be like, oh, son, just walk around it. Or son, jump over it. And so he doesn't know what to do in that situation. But you and I just kind of move and go around that hole. So same thing works with that physical confrontation or that someone gets in front of you, or if there's, you know, a fight breaks out or any type of conflict. With martial arts training, you learn how to handle that. You learn how to deal with that. In a way that you're thinking, but you're not thinking. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Pretty cool. So
art. It's art.
Martial arts.
Yeah. I felt like with the minimal training that I have done with you at your dojo, I felt like I would learn that often the things that you learn about yourself is that you just kind of flow with whatever else is coming at you and vice versa yeah. instead of forcing it and being so stiff. Kind of like the old saying goes that like, a car crash, the person that's drunk ends up being fine because they're relaxed and calm. Yes, they're intoxicated, though, so it's not like they're actually cool, calm, and collected. They're just fucked up. So they're like they're out of it. They're relaxed. Right. Their body right. is in a relaxed state. But if you can do that but be aware, so be in a relaxed state, not too tense, but be aware, you're more functional, you're more responsible, you know, in the sense of actual responsibility, responding to things.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what you're saying, kind of. And I yeah. think that's really beautiful, especially because, like, you teach this to hundreds, if not thousands of people over the years, dude.
Well,
thousands
you know,
of people.
So back to the original story to my goal was what I'm doing now is the goal. And so back when I was with my original instructor, it just wasn't flowing that way. He wanted to be a little bit more old school. Yeah. I wanted to be a little bit more new school. So about in 2015, we just had like a disagreement of vision, and we couldn't come to an agreement on the future of what's going on. You know, we had a school in a very bad location. It just wasn't, it just, you know, we had a lot of crime there. It just wasn't flowing, right? So so I made the tough decision to you know, pop out and open up my own school, which is now known as Guido's Martial Arts Academy, and able to kind of build it to, you know, with again, with a phenomenal team. And I can go on and on about them because they're just, you know, I always tell people my name's on the wall just because it's marketable, man. You can't forget the name Guido.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, realistically, but I'm just a cog in the wheel, right? I may be a big cog, but I'm just a cog in the wheel. And now, like you said, you know, we've got 430 students that train out of our school, give or take, right in that range. I'm able to, you know, go to different elementary schools and do motivational speaking for them, or bully prevent, from anything from bully prevention to conflict avoidance to, like last week I did, they are having state testing right now. Well, I went to the school and taught everybody how to get prepared for state testing mentally. Teachers did their job of teaching the material.
Right.
That's only one part of it.
Right.
The mindset training.
Right.
That's what I went in there. So I taught them, you know, told them to believe in themselves, to, you know, set their mind up for success, to, you know, make sure they get a good breakfast in the morning and sleep well and wear some nice clothes that day. Like today, like I
feel good.
Yeah, yeah. Like I came in and I got me, you know, I'm wearing my, you know, Lululemon, you know, sweater and a nice pair of shorts, and nobody's watching me, but I feel good.
Right.
And so if I feel good, I'm going to talk better, I'm going to perform better, I'm going to be better at whatever.
Mental clarity, focus, these things come from feeling good, I feel like, often too, yeah. Like if you don't want to be there, like a lot of times when I would go to school when I was younger, I just didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
It sucked, right? Yeah, I feel like I was in prison, kind of, you know, and it was hard to focus because of that. Like if you don't want to be there, how would you focus? You know, you got to be in the zone, kind of, you got to be present, but you got to feel good in this weird way, because if you feel miserable, you know, you start blaming the outside environment around you for that, you know, and even if it's just actually inside your own head.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of times it's why. Why do we, you know, when you're dealing with young people, a lot of times young people don't understand why. Like, you know.
The question why, right?
Well. Yeah.
As a young person, that's a really like an endless question too. Why? I just don't understand. Why does it work this way? No one taught me why this doesn't make sense on paper, but somehow in between the lines you have to read, you know.
Well, like, okay, have you ever heard this before? You know, mom and dad tell you to do something, and, well, it's because I said so.
Right.
Well, I don't really care what you say. I'm a teenager, you know? So what do you, what, so for me, like, I was having a talk with our, we have a demonstration team that travels around. We go to school carnivals, and we perform. And so we're sitting there, and, you know, I'm telling them, I said, look, guys, I just need to break something down for you. I'm not going to treat you like a kid. Do you want to be treated like a kid? They're like, no. Cool, I'm gonna treat you like an adult.
Right.
There's expectations that go along with that, though. Understand that when you the older you get, the higher the expectations go. So understand, you wanna be treated not like a kid, fine. I'm gonna treat you like an adult, but I'm also gonna expect you to do things like an adult. And then they're like, fair enough. And so now they understand, they're like, okay. So when I get on their case, or if I, you know, have to discipline them, or, you know, talk to them about something, they understand, like, oh, hey, I didn't meet the expectations. Right, the expectations are up here. Over here, I might be in school and they treat me like a little fifth grader or sixth grader or right. seventh grader. I might be at home and they treat me like a kid because I'm their kid. But when I'm with Mr. Guido, he's going to give me the respect that I, you know, of being, you know, what I want. And we give that to them. And so, but we explain things to them. And I think that's important, man. Like understanding the why, like why do you have to go to school? I always tell people, hey, man, do you want to be an idiot? No? Go to school and learn some stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Right? You have a choice. Dumb or smart? Pick one. Smart? Good. Go to school and listen to what they have to say.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to... It's like we teach you a lot of karate moves. We might teach you a good, awesome kick. But if somebody comes in and grabs you, well, guess what? Your kick doesn't work anymore.
Right.
So you have to have something new. So by having a broad range of education,
yeah,
you're not going to use every one of those things they taught you every day, but you will use some of it throughout your career, throughout your life. And then you might go back to it. Oh, man, well, I didn't need to know this today, but I might need to know it in 3 months. And so the importance of education, I think, is important. And so I think one of the things that I like to do is break that down for the young people. And we do that in our school is, you know, and again, too, we're talking about education, but how does martial arts fit into that? Well, martial arts is just the avenue. It's the cool part. It's the kicks, the punches, the avenue, the self-defense portion. Everything else we teach is how to use martial arts as a way to teach life skills. Teach things like how to be successful forever in life, not just in kicking and punching.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like winning the competition only. Like, it's bigger than that.
Yeah, right.
Layers to this shit.
Layers. Yeah, winning the competition, great, awesome, feels great. 24-hour mm-hmm. rule, man. 24 hours, you win or lose. After that, it doesn't freaking matter anymore.
Yeah, that's some heavy shit.
Like, if I go to a tournament tomorrow and just destroy it and feel great, yay, 24 hours later, I'm like, man, I suck. I got to start working again. I can go to a tournament and lose, get my butt kicked. Hate life for 24 hours. After that, back to the drawing boards, keep working again. It's the same thing.
Right.
So with competition's cool, but I think for us, you know, the biggest competition we have is the competition that we have within ourselves.
Right.
Every day, trying to be a better version of ourselves. Better father, better husband, better you know, better worker, whatever it is we do. You know, just that constant competition within.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, something that's, you know, important to grasp onto.
I agree.
Yeah.
100%.
Hello, everybody. This is Tyler Colombaro, the host of the Symbiosis Now podcast, as well as the host of the Cali Ag podcast, which is new. It is launching. It's ready for you to hear. Here's a little intro clip to get you enticed. I hope you can go check it out on Spotify and all the platforms out there. Check it out. Welcome to the Cali Ag podcast. I'm Tyler Colombaro, and I'm the host of this podcast. This podcast will ultimately be an exploration into all aspects of California agriculture, from the crops, to the land, to the water. Listener, if you were not aware, the state of California provides an unquantifiable amount of produce to the world. We will feature guests on each episode that work and lead the agricultural trajectory and symbiosis within the state of California. So listener, join us. Tell your friends and tell a farmer about the Cali Ag podcast.
So you brought up bullies earlier.
Yeah.
Bully prevention. You teach bully prevention often to these youngsters.
Yep.
Were you bullied back in the day?
Yeah, I was a fat kid.
You were bullied?
Yeah.
Yeah, like what kind of bullying? Harsh memories or just like whatever? When did it motivate you to learn how to defend yourself? Is that kind of, or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
It did, you know, but think about this. When you're weak physically and you're around maybe some other kids that are more, you know, further along in their physical stage of development, right? I mean, that's kind of what it breaks down to.
I get what you mean.
But you feel weaker, that does something to your confidence level.
Makes you feel inferior, even if that's not so.
You feel inferior. You know, when you're, you know, when all your friends are, you know, skinny and you're the chubby kid and you're different, then, you know, people are going to look at you because you're different and they're going to say things to you that maybe they're just trying to tease you, right? Because there's a difference between teasing and bullying. I'll break that down.
Right.
You know, a lot of teasing. And then there's a few kids that were just they're constant. They were trying to tease me on a consistent basis on purpose to gain control.
Right.
That's the bully aspect, right? It's mm-hmm. it's when they're doing things verbally or physically to you on purpose all the time, trying to gain that mental control over you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm having a bad day at home. I'm the bully. I'm having a bad day at home. I have a really bad home life. I want to feel better about myself. There's Guido over there. I'm going to go pick on him and make fun of him because he's fat.
Versus teasing is more like it could be endearing, right? It could be like endearing somehow, right? Teasing someone. It's not necessarily bullying is what you're trying to say,
like,
too, right?
Like you and I could be hanging out. And,
yeah,
and
we talk shit.
And, right, we talk shit. That's
yeah.
And that's
we
okay.
Call it teasing maybe when you're younger, or like I guess in some scenarios, right?
Right, we're friends.
Really,
we're
that's what it is.
Like I mess with my friends and joke around with them. You know, like, you know,
ain't a good friend if you don't.
Right. Like, I got a buddy who's like 10 years older than me and I mess with him about his age, right?
Right.
Just, you know, but not like I'm...
But you don't bring him down to a level below you and
no.
purposefully and leave him there.
Yeah,
like,
you are old and I am young
yeah.
and I am control of you, right?
Yeah.
And so...
Right.
And
that'd be bullying.
Correct. And right. And there's bullying with kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's bullying with adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in workplaces where you might have a manager who purposely brings you down because he's maybe afraid or she's afraid that you're going to surpass them in, within the organization.
I wish people would have told me that when I was younger.
I know, right?
But they didn't.
Oh, that's horrible.
I fell for it all the time.
But we, but if we could teach you, mm-hmm. if I came to your school when you were younger, mm-hmm. and I taught you how to handle a bully situation, well, now when you're an adult, you're gonna like, well, wait a second, I dealt with this crap in high school. I dealt with this in junior high. I got this. Not a problem.
Right.
I mean, it's simple as, you know, so we have a system. We have a 4-step process to handle if you get bullied. And then we have a 4-step process if you see someone else getting bullied. Right. So the first step of the bullying situation is you use your mind.
Okay.
Right. Use your mind to stay in a situation. Like, let's say you have a bully and I don't care where it is. You're not going to go walk up to that bully and hang out with that bully and be best friends with that bully. You're not going to go walk up, you know, approach that person. When you know that they're gonna, you know, it's kind of like walking down a dark alley, right? You know, in New York.
Yeah. You know, why would you?
Yeah.
You know how it's gonna turn out.
I can defend myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not walking down a dark alley in New York. It's just not smart, right? So
right.
So use your mind. Other one is use your words, and the word we like to use is calm, which stands for cool down, assert yourself, look them in the eye, and mean it. So sometimes you need to look at somebody and say, "Hey, stop, leave me alone."
And then they're like, or what? What are you going to do about it? Right? That's usually the response, right?
And then I tell them, because I ask questions at the end. So let's say someone said that. Right. What are you going to do about it? I look at him and go, I just did it. I told you to stop and leave me alone.
That is what I'm doing about it.
That is what I'm doing about it.
Versus escalating it to the next level. Now you're losing your cool.
Right. Did you not hear? Let me repeat it again for you. So leave me alone, please. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have to do that when I cut people off at the bar.
Right,
I have to mean it.
Yeah, right.
I have to fucking mean it and look them in the eyes and tell them, hey, maybe another cup of water, but no shot.
Okay? Right. And we're looking in the eye, and now you go, oh, okay. And then, but kids, the next step is, well, you know, they want to fight you. Well, then I always tell people, well, then learn martial arts. You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
It's pretty simple. Like, I can look you in the eye. Like, if I told somebody to knock it off, they're not going to look at me and go, well, what are you going to do about it? I don't understand the question. I just... You know, I make them kind of understand, like we're not going to elevate this into a fighting situation unless you choose to. And if you choose to, it's a really bad day for you.
Yeah.
Really bad day.
Right.
Right, because, you know, I mean.
You know, open that can of worms.
It's a bad
day. We're going to close it.
Man, we don't want the worms,
So I like worms, but
not those.
Save them for the garden.
Save them for the garden, right. Yeah. And then, you know, the next one is use your legs, you know, and sometimes you simply, you know, in that situation, like, okay, cool, all right, well, it looks like you are definitely wanting to engage in a physical confrontation, and I don't. So I'm just going to walk away.
Right.
And then you walk away, again, smartly. You don't just turn your back away. They can hit you from behind. Mm-hmm. But you leave the situation, right? And then the next step would be reporting, right? And so teaching kids, you know, what the difference is between reporting and being a tattletale.
Right.
Tattletale is like when you want to get someone in trouble. Mm-hmm. Like you're in line and, you know, so-and-so touched my pinky finger. Okay, well then, you know, that's not bullying, right? But if you are getting bullied, if someone's... You know, following these bully rules of, you know, on purpose, all the time, trying to gain power, that type of thing, well, then reporting is important. So teaching the kids how to do that, I think, is so important so they understand how to deal with that situation. So it's magical, man. And again, too, you know, I talked to 700-800 kids. Who's gonna receive it all? Well, the kids that's most focused or the kids that mean it the most. Mm-hmm. Both of those kids are gonna get this, and some of them aren't gonna listen, and that's why they bring me back every year. Because maybe this kid is in third grade this year and everything's fine, but then next year in fourth grade, now the bullying starts. Well, he's gonna probably think, "Dang, where did that karate guy go, man? I wish he'd come back and."
Teach me this stuff now.
And then they're going to go, Mr. Guido's coming back. He's going to be like, yes, well, I'm going to listen this time because last year I didn't listen because I wasn't getting bullied, but now I am.
Right.
And now that kid's dialed in.
Yeah, right.
And then they bring him back in the next year. And then by the time they get into like fourth, fifth, sixth grade and they're getting ready to go to junior high where things really get bad,
right?
Then they've got a little bit of a base. And then junior high has had me come in and I have a little bit different approach with them. Them is more like conflict avoidance. How to avoid conflict, because there's a lot of fights, if you remember junior high and high school.
Junior high was the meanest.
The meanest.
I feel I was the meanest, too. I wasn't the meanest, ironically, but I was bullied the most in junior high, without a doubt. It was ugly. You know, the freshman year of high school, but, like, that's kind of when it started getting better after that.
Junior high is rough, man. But seventh grade. Seventh grade, you go from a school, you have one classroom, there's maybe 30 kids in your class, or 35 if it's big, in your whole class.
Right.
There's 190 kids.
Right.
To going to a school where there's, you know, maybe 700 in your class. Mm-hmm. You know, huge. And dealing with all the different personalities, all the different hormones, all the different growth, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, understanding sexuality, all those things. It's just like, what's going on? And then some people are just pissed because they don't have an outlet. Like, you think about it, like, you know, my, you know, okay, so let's say a situation comes, you know, I want to use Ash as an example. He, let's say, imagine he's fourth grade. And you call me up. You're like, hey, your grandson just punched a kid in the face. Can you talk to him? Sure. I'll sit down with him and go, dude, what happened? I'm very calm, right? Because at the end of the day, I don't know what happened.
Right. You, we weren't there.
We weren't there.
Right.
This kid could have, he could come and say, hey, you know what? This kid's been messing with me for the last 3 months. Pushing me, calling me names, messing with me, and I just got freaking tired of him, punched him right in his nose. And that's when that situation where I go, well, you know, I understand how you feel. I understand why you would go down that route. Let me give you a couple options that maybe you could have done a little bit earlier.
Right.
And an option that you could have done instead of punching him in the face. Right? Because let's say someone does that to you at your job, and no matter if they deserved it or not, and you punch somebody in the face, you're getting fired.
Right.
Period. So maybe we can help him to where maybe down the road when he's an adult, he doesn't do that.
Right.
Even if it's warranted, he doesn't go down that road. But there's got to be a conversation. We got to talk about it. We got to chat. Mm-hmm. Hey, why did you come to this decision? Why did you get to where you're at? Well, it's because of A, B, C, and D. Okay, cool. Well, maybe at B, we could have did some reporting. Maybe at A, we could have followed this rule. And at C, we could have followed this rule, and maybe it could have helped us not get to this point. And so there's got to be a conversation. And so I think that's important to, you know, break that down for the, our youth is like letting them know and getting them to understand that there are other options and what the mainstream option is. You know, a lot of times, and I'm sure you've heard this before, dad, kids mess with me at school. We'll punch him in the face and he won't do it anymore. Yeah, I'm dad. Sorry, dad, but you're an idiot. That's not the answer. You're teaching your son that violence is the solution. And you're talking to a guy who punches and kicks and chokes people out on a daily basis. Trust me, I love hitting people. It's euphoric, right? I do it to my bestest of friends. Mm-hmm. We hit and choke each other. That's what we do. But it is not the answer to solve the problem. That's not the solution. That is the uneducated way to solve a problem, Dad. So we have to think of another way. Right, we have to think of another way to solve that problem. And again, why did dads do that? Well, because that's what their dad said. And that's what their dad said. And that's what their dad said, right? Because they grew up in a different time. And so I've always thought, like, you know, how can I teach people the process, right? Because then at the end of the day, if you go through, like, so we have, so I'm going to break it down for you real quick.
Break it down.
So ABC is a conflict avoidance. And they go all the way up to H. So we got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. We got eight, okay? So the first one, avoid potentially dangerous situations, right? So you teach them how to avoid a situation that could be dangerous. For example, let's say I'm at a bar and there's a football game going on, right? And it's Raiders and some other team, right? I'm just going to throw the Raiders out there. But let's say it's Raiders, Niners. I'm a Niners fan, right? And so let's say we're all geared up. I got my Niners gear on. I got a Raider gear on. And let's say the Niners kill them. And these three, I'm big dudes, man. They're mad. They're pissed off. They've had a few beers. Next thing you know, let's say we're at the elevator. And we're all there together. And these guys start looking at me. And then all of a sudden, ding. So I think about that. Well, I have a choice. I can get in the elevator with these dudes. Or I can just let them go, man. Take the next elevator.
Yeah, is it a good idea?
Right. Like, am I scared? No. But why would I go into a cage with three tigers?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Avoid the dangerous situation.
Right.
Right? Second one, be calm and breathe. Take a deep breath. Relax. You can think better. C, communicate with confidence. Look people in the eyes. Hold your shoulders back. Be a confident person. Let that person know, hey, man, I don't appreciate this. I need you to back off.
Yeah, taking a breath. I'm not trying to cut you off, but taking a breath is super important because I feel like the society we live in, for some reason, we think that we're supposed to fill the space with words, like, all the time. For some reason, like, response is just to say something off the wall, like, next. And that's not the case. You got to breathe and think about what you're going to say next before you say it, especially in a tense situation.
Absolutely. Take a deep breath and, you know, and then
before you say it, think about it one more time.
Right.
Like, you know.
Yeah, if everybody would learn that, that would help us out with our
just one second. Yeah, literally one breath. Just
No, I'm not going to say that.
That's good significant significant other advice right there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So next one's D. Don't make it worse by arguing or fighting. So, you know, like, you know, tell a kid, like, hey, did you ever get in a fight with your parent? Yeah. Did you ever get in an argument? Yeah. How'd that work out? Bad. Then don't do that, right? Yeah, so right. Don't make it worse, right? E, environment. If you have to use your environment around you, right? So, for example, you're in some type of tough situation and, you know, you know, you go behind, go by, you know, next to a teacher, right? Go to a different part of the room. Use your environment to, you know, if two guys are wanting to pop off and get crazy in a club or a bar or a restaurant, maybe I go behind the table. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Use my environment mm-hmm. to stay safe.
Right, for right? sure.
For kids, we teach them fire, right? So if there's a thing at school, you don't yell help, you yell fire. Because sometimes nobody wants to help, but if you yell fire, everybody's going to look around.
They're like, oh, wait, that's a very specific term.
Right. Where's the fire, yeah. right? G is just straight up get out, right? Just get out of the situation, yeah. flee, right? So we got A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Next one's H. Now, I'm going to break down H for you. We just went over 7 tips, right? You ever heard of 3 strikes, you're out?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so we went through 3 strikes. Then we had to give him another opportunity, went through another 3 strikes. And just because we're nice, we gave him 1 more. Right? Now we're at H. H is very simple. Hit hard, hit fast, hit first, hit last. Period. Right? So you've done everything. Right? If I have a kid come up to me and say, why'd you hit him? They're like, Mr. Guido, I went through A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. It was time for H. Fair enough.
I wasn't there, but I believe you.
Fair enough, right? Yeah, like, right? Like, I went through the entire gamut, right? And so I think that is a better way to teach kids. If you have to use physical force, it's you got down to a point where there are no other options, right? Now, there are caveats. I tell kids, you know, there are different rules that kind of break this A through H concept.
Right, of course.
Rule number 1, 2-on-1. So if I'm in a situation, there's 2 of you and 1 of me, there it's H, right? Because you're approaching me, and now I'm starting to get into a point where my life's in danger, right? 2 right. people on 1 person or more.
Or more, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's an automatic, like listen, I you know, there's no, they're not coming to you to just, you know, kick it.
There's no time for A through G no, at this point, or no. B through G or whatever. No. Like, it's yeah. just like, oh.
No. Yeah. And then another one is like, you know, let's say I'm at, you know, somewhere and someone is walking to me with intent, harsh, fast intent, and I could feel the look in their eye that they're coming at me. That's another one that now it's time to actually use your martial arts and handle the situation. And what that, you know, what that usage may be is as much force as necessary to stop the situation, right? So you just can't beat somebody's freaking head in. Right, as much force as necessary to neutralize the situation, whatever it may be.
Yeah, like you hear about these crazy stories where, like, she stabbed him 37 times. Like, way too much. Why?
Yeah.
Like, and everyone's like, oh my God, what a monster. Can you believe it? But this is a product of someone that lost their shit.
Right.
They lost all credit, like all sanity, focus, self-control, everything, to the point of where they were already dead and you just kept... Stabbing him. Right. Like, you don't want to be that guy. No one wants to fucking be that guy. So I get what you're saying. You use this force until it's necessary, and then that's it.
That's it.
Right? You know?
Period.
Because, I mean, we don't need to get too crazy. You just got to defend yourself at the end of the day more so than trying to go after someone.
Right.
This H that we're talking about here in the scheme of all this. But I feel like everything we're talking about takes a lot of self-discipline, and I feel like you preach self-discipline a lot in your courses and with your students, and I feel like in your life, you know, and... you go on diets sometimes, bro. You got that self-discipline. You wake up early. You train. You got that discipline. And that's not because someone else is telling you that you have to. You know, even your students, you know, if you got lazy and were just kind of walking around with a pot belly or whatever, they wouldn't care.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be like, hey, would you still listen to him? Probably, you know, but you always stay dedicated to it. I don't know what it takes to do something like that other than, like, it's inside you. What do you have to say about self-discipline?
Well,
how do you do that? How do you get there? How do you start telling yourself, I have to do this? And it's not because someone else is going to hold me accountable. It's what I have to be for the environment I live in and the niche I fill. I have to be what I have to be.
Well, there's two things, right? Two approaches, right? So the number one approach is, you know, creating good habits, right? Creating good habits and guarding your habits. Mm-hmm. So going down a road of teaching, you know, and creating a habit. So with kids, it's a little bit, I can go kids and then I'm going to go adults. So with kids, mm-hmm. you know, we work on breaking down what the good habit, what a habit is, right? And we always tell them, you know, good habits, hard to make, easy to break. Bad habits, easy to make, hard to break. And so right. we break that concept down and then we ask them, like, you know, what is the end game from creating good habits? What is the end game of creating bad habits? Mm-hmm. And you walk them through that process and they understand, oh, if I create good habits, then good things will happen in my life. If I create bad habits, well, then bad things will happen in my life. And so you teach them, we teach them how to create good habits, habits of practicing, habits of getting their homework done, and try to develop that concept at an early age. So me, luckily, I've been doing martial arts since I was 7. So I've been taught how to create those habits over time. And dealt with the setbacks when you fall off of those habits. Now with adults, I go back to expectations. And you know, you ask me, how do I have this and how do I do this, right? So I have expectations of me that are very high, right? You guys have expectations of me. My wife has expectations of me. My students have expectations of me. My parents of students have expectations. My team has expectations. The community has expectations. And my goal is to constantly exceed those expectations. And is that a lot? Absolutely. But there's one person I left out. Myself. My personal expectations are much higher than anybody else's. So you could look at me today and we're sitting across from this and you could have this expectation of how I would do this podcast with you and how I'd present myself or whatever your expectation is of me. Mine's beyond that so far. So if I can meet my own, I'll always exceed yours. If I can exceed mine, well, then that's legendary status. That's like, oh my God, how did he do this? I don't even can't even comprehend.
And you're
this.
Taking care of yourself in that moment too because you're satisfying your goal.
Well, and that's
too,
the thing.
Right? Not someone else's. Right?
And that's the key. Mm-hmm. In the end, my expectations of myself are always higher. So everybody else just kind of fits in that. So that way it doesn't get stressful. Like, oh my God, I'm not meeting the expectations of my wife and not getting this done. Like this is going to sound bad. Like, I really don't care what her expectations are of me in that sense because mine are already higher. Mm-hmm. I screw up, I take that personally.
Right.
She might just be a little irritated. I'm pissed. I screwed up. I wasn't perfect the way I should be. And I know that sounds really harsh, but I put myself through that rigorous expectation, you know, balance. And so what happens at the end of the day, you know, but again, I understand this one major concept. I understand that I am going to fail.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. I embrace it. I embrace the suck, man. I embrace the failure. I embrace the fact that I'm not going to be perfect. I embrace it. I enjoy it because when I get that moment, I kind of get humanized a little bit.
Yeah.
And I realize and I understand that I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
And I realize that, guess what? There are still things to be done and, you know, and there's ways for me to improve and ways for me to get better. And when you have a motivating factor, goals every single day, like I got goals for me. Like I got goals to kill this podcast with you. You know, after I'm done here today, I'm going straight to the gym,
right?
And I'm gonna work, and I have goals for myself at the gym,
right?
And I'm staying in that lane. And notice it all goes back to that, you know, running your own race concept. When I get to the dojo tonight, I'm gonna go teach. Man, I got a bunch of classes. I've got some 3-year-olds I got to teach today. Some 5-year-olds. I've got some teens and adults. I've got some black belts I got to teach tonight. And at the very end of the night, guess what? I got a staff meeting. And I got to make sure at the end of the staff meeting that my team comes out of there and is like, yeah, let's go.
Right.
Like, I got to get them pumped up for the next 7 days because I got another staff meeting next week that I got to do the same thing on. And so, like, I've got these expectations of myself to kill my day. People always ask, like, how do you sleep so well at night? I just freaking, I took advantage of every second of my day with goals, with high expectations, and just working and grinding all day long. Like, there's no kicking it. I'll kick it when I'm dead, right? I got time. When I'm dead or when I'm really, really old.
I get what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, okay, right. I'm 90. Look around. okay, maybe I'm only going to work out 3 days this week. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I mean, maybe I'm not going to do, you know, 6 days a week and 7 days a week. You know, I'm a little older now. Okay, I'm going to drop it down a little bit, and maybe I'll have some, you know, kick it, relax time with my great-grandkids. You know what I mean? Who knows? But for right now, you know, I still got a lot of fuel in the tank. I still have a lot of things I want to accomplish. And those goals that I set and those expectations are what really... And so, again, self-discipline through martial arts helps me accomplish those expectations, those goals, meeting the expectations and exceeding them, and then accomplishing the goals that I want to accomplish in my life.
Right.
What's going down, podcast listener? I imagine that you drive a car when you're out and aboutin'. You might even have a motorcycle, per se. And I think that most people that live in the society we live in have a home of some sort. On those things, do you have insurance? That is my question to you. And if you do not, it seems like it's time to get you some. What are you doing out there listening to a podcast? Because if you are, at the same time simultaneously, you could be calling Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance to provide you with top-notch service. Give him a call at 559-638-3800. Do you not have a license? That doesn't seem to be a problem. He can set you up. Do I know how? I have no idea, but he can set you up. He claims to know. Are you anything like me? And when you were younger, got into some trouble, had a DUI, and needed an SR-22 insurance? Maybe? I hope not. But if you do, Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance can set you up with the free SR-22. You can find Alfredo looking sharp in the suit on 998 North Manning Avenue in Reedley, California. Or you can give him a jingle down there at the shop at 559-638-3800. Be sure to tell him that you heard about him on the Symbiosis Now podcast, and he will set you up ASAP with all your insuring needs. Thank you, Alfredo, for sponsoring the podcast. And now let's get back to the show, folks.
Totally get you. That's a lot. But I also feel like too many people live in the moment, you know? And I think that that's what not the problem. I think that people think they're doing good when they decide that I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow. I'm going to make a decision to go tomorrow.
Right.
And then they go.
Right.
And they're hella sore. And they talk about it all night and brag about how they're sore later at work. Like, oh, God, I hit the gym today. Super sore.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm fucking sore every day. I work out every fucking day. And most people that work out every day start getting less and less sore, you know, with their consistency. But I still am somehow sore every day too, but I don't even think about it. I don't talk about it. I feel limber, but I feel kind of sore, but it's a good sore. It's limber. I feel like I hit what I wanted to. I accomplished my goal, but I don't ever fucking talk about it. I don't ever talk about it. I don't post pictures of myself. I don't do any of that stuff. I do it for me. But I feel like so many people are doing it because they want that credit. They want to take that picture at the gym, say, I've been going to the gym again, guys, but they don't do anything while they're there. They're on their phone scrolling Instagram while they're there. We've all seen it. Yeah. I used to go to the gym. It's what made me kind of get annoyed to where I couldn't go anymore. I'm just tired of watching people act like this is just a virtue signal place, you know, where we go and we look like we're working out, but we're really just hogging a fucking machine, you know. I don't want to be that guy, and I don't want to be around it, and I don't want to be held up by that. So I decide to just do my things the way I feel like are called for me to do every day, whatever helps me get into the mode and get the resistance out, make me get my mind right. But I feel like a lot of people are doing it for the social clout. So I'm glad we talked about self-discipline, because I think a lot of people are disciplined in a way where they don't know it's not discipline. They think that the structure that society's providing is the discipline. Society doesn't know what's best for you. All this stuff outside you doesn't know what's best for you, and it's not really serving you, you know? So I'm glad we touched on that.
Well, I think too, like back to that a little bit, if I can just piggyback on that a little bit. So... You know what my biggest struggle is? So, is trying to utilize this device, this cellular phone,
right,
to help motivate others. Like when I do a video, it's not for me. And here's my issue. Like yesterday, taught a great jiu-jitsu class in the morning, right? Oh, by the way, so 6th degree black belt, brown belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu under Carlos Machado, if anybody's asking, right? And if you go down the list, you got the Gracies and the Machados are their cousins, and so we got a great, you know, great pedigree there. And so, but brown belt under Carlos Machado. So I was doing this jiu-jitsu class that I teach, and it's killer, right? Great class. I'm teaching this really cool concept on, you know, on an arm bar from the mount position, right? And it would have been great to post a video about that, but I'm in the freaking moment, and I don't think about, my mind doesn't think about that, right? So if I post a video, I'm only doing it just so I can share my knowledge, my motivation, my inspiration with the people out there. So sometimes people are utilizing their social media and taking videos and pictures because maybe they're trying to get that, you know, create that inspiration somewhere, right? They're trying to build themselves up inside. Maybe they're trying to build their confidence. Maybe they've got something going on the inside. Right, so to guys like you and me, we're always sore every single day. This is what it's normal, right? But maybe somebody says, "Oh, I'm sore." I'm like, "Oh, cool, man. Like, what are you doing? Like, what's your right. What's your deal?" "Oh, cool. You work out?" "Cool, yeah, I work out too." And you have that conversation with them, and they're like, "Well, are you sore?" But like, you know what I found is that, you know, with proper habits of continued training over time, the soreness starts to get less and less. Mm-hmm. And then when it gets really, really less, when it gets really, really low, you know what I do? Change the workout.
Yeah, you go extra hard.
You go,
yeah,
right, you right. Change, just change the workout. You know what I mean? So it could be, you know, some people just need somebody else to help motivate them and help them with their discipline. And back to like society, you know, I think we live in a society that sets a box, right? It sets a box, sets the rules, sets some boundaries, sets a box. And I believe there's a lot of people in this, let's just say our country, mm-hmm. that really like it when we fit in this little box. And guess what? 99% of everybody fits in that box and is really comfortable in that box. They feel safe, mm-hmm. right? They're safe mm-hmm. in the box. Mm-hmm. Me, I don't feel safe in that box. I kick it in that box to understand the 99%, right? That's the only time I kick it in that box. The rest of the time, I am outside of the box and I'm figuring out ways to get other people out of that box. And if I can get more people out of that box, I can inspire more people to.
Right.
And you don't have to be out of the box very long, right? You can come out of you can stay in the box the most of the time, but I want you out the box a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the more you do that, and guess what? Most of the time, you live outside of the box and you visit inside the box. So that's what I do. I visit inside the box to talk to people and get to understand them and get to wonder what their, you know, what their mindset is. And I had a talk with somebody the other day and I flat out told them, I said, "Listen, you know, you and I don't have a lot in common. We just don't. You know, I live my life as it to be inspiring, to be motivated, and to live my life to the absolute fullest. And you're content with being average, right? So maybe let me get somebody else to conversate with you because you and I have nothing in common." And when I said that to that person, they were like, "Oh shit, that was fucking real." like that was kind of eye opening. Like, because Mr. Inspirational, Mr. Talk to Everybody, just kind of shut me out that I can't conversate with you. Like, if I'm looking at these right here, these sunglasses that I'm holding in my hand, and you tell me this is a freaking cell phone over and over again, I'm gonna say, you know what, cool, man, hey, we just don't think alike, bro, right? So I feel the same way with people that live inside that box and are comfortable there and want to live there and never want to go out of there and are just content being average individuals. You know, I respect you. I respect you as a human being. I respect whatever you feel your decisions may be. But when it comes to like that next level conversation, sorry, man, we just don't, I can't conversate with you. I don't have anything in common with you. Right? You're just too sheepish for me.
Right.
So
sometimes people got to hear it, man.
Yeah. And
you got to break the fourth wall. And you know, I often have to do that at the bar, if I'm serving tables or whatever. Sometimes someone says some wild shit, and I'll break the wall and be like, "What did you just say?" Like, instead of being like a server, like, "Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am." I'm like, "Wait a minute. My tip doesn't fucking matter for a second. What?
Yeah,
like, what did you just say? Why would you say that? Why would she say that?" And then I burn her in front of everyone. And often everyone knows, "Oh, she's kind of a bitch. So just let her do her thing." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, I got you. I had to clarify real fast that we're not on the same page.
I'll
still be here for now. But I'm checking in on the box is what I'm doing while I'm here. I'm popping in the box. But really, I'm way out this box. I'm running around circles around this fucking square, you know? And I don't like when someone tries to bring me back into this little corner. You know, of misery. Yep. I don't want to be there.
So true, man.
And I feel like, leads me to my next thing, I feel like our leadership,
people talk about it all the time, but they bring it into this political realm. I try to not go there. But leadership in general in our world, people are looking up or seeing our leaders, and they're poor leaders often. So maybe it's giving the world this false sense of that's what a leader looks like. Someone that lies, manipulates, tells us what to do by force. You know? It gives this false sense of security in the world, I feel like sometimes. I don't know, like when we're going to war possibly, you know, across the world. Like we're just kind of like, yeah, we're seeing inside the box of what we're told to think about it. But there's such a bigger connection to it. There's so much that it could affect that we're not taking into consideration. Well, I don't want to give up my freedom in my life. I don't want to go fight a war against some guy I don't know, you know, for the wrong reasons.
Well,
with leaders telling us that's what we have to do. Of course we have to do that. And so, everyone's like, yeah, well, they're a good leader. I mean, they made it there. They got voted in. They're popular.
Popularity isn't always a leadership.
Did they lie to get you to think that they know you? They're cool with you, well, you know, and
so
they get in.
So since I'm on Symbiosis Now, baby, we can get a little political.
Off to the weeds, yeah.
Absolutely. So here, my least favorite time to watch television is during election time.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of
what the election is, and I'm going to tell you why. Because every single person that gets on that, that makes a some type of a commercial, mm-hmm. every single one does it the wrong way. But they do it the wrong way because society allows it. And I'm going to break that down for you.
Mm-hmm.
In good business, right, and in our martial arts school, let's say you can, and I know every martial arts school in town, I think we're the best because I'm biased, right? So, I mean, I'm not going to ever, you know what I mean? I feel that we offer things that other people don't. But there are a lot of schools that offer they have really great martial artists. I know a lot of schools that have great business and great systems. A lot of schools out there do a really good job. They're great. Some are absolutely god-awful. They should not be doing what they're doing. But if you come in and you ask me, hey, I went to this place and, you know, ABC Martial Arts, and I know ABC absolutely sucks. Their instructor is a big, fat, overweight wannabe that would get destroyed in a minute. Can't teach. Horrible system. You know what I mean? Dirty school. I mean, they fit all the requirements of what you don't want a martial arts school to be. I don't even know how they're still in business. There are a few out there like that.
Right.
If someone comes to me and says, hey, what do you think of ABC Martial Arts? I'd say, you know what? ABC's been around a long time. I really don't know about them, even though I do, but it's not my place to tell you about them. That's your job to go figure it out. Let me tell you what I can do for you. Let me tell you what we offer and see if that fits your needs. Well, these political leaders, they come on there and they tell you what the other guy is bad at, what the other guy isn't doing, and they bash the other person. I just want to hear what you're going to do well.
Yeah, 90% of their commercials bashing the opponent.
99,
yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
So tell me what you're going to do for me. So I think a good leader is someone that is sound in their beliefs, sound in what they're going to do, and sound in how they're going to serve. A leader is a servant.
Right.
That's the missing concept. Mm-hmm. Leader does not mean boss. Bosses aren't leaders. Bosses are mm-hmm. people that are put into a higher position to have other people do stuff, I guess. And I just hate that word. Mm-hmm. A leader is someone who is sound in their vision, sound in their what needs to be done, and their main goal is to help people accomplish the mission. They're put in that position for that. What's our mission? Let's accomplish it. You're struggling? Come on, let me lift you up and help you. Right? Let me lift you up and help you. I'm not going to point the finger and tell you to go. I'm going to grab you by the hand. Sometimes I'm going to carry you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go. And the goal is that you help people get to that next level. And then it's a circle. They reciprocate. They help other people come up. And then those people help the other people come up. And that's that leadership concept. And I think that gets missed a lot. If people don't understand what a true leader is, it's someone that just serves other people. And how do you get to that point? Well, you have to eat shit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be that person that's on the bottom of the barrel, and you have to get the life experience. You have to work your way up, and you have to work your way up, and you have to work your way up. And if you're lucky enough to work your way up in a system that has really strong leadership, well, then that's going to turn you into a better leader. And I think that's the concept I think is missed. You know, just because someone's put in a position, you know, doesn't mean they're a leader.
Right. Just because they're authority doesn't mean they know how to lead.
Yeah. Authority, that's another word, right? Like, I think the most important thing is to use your influence over your authority. Influence others to be great. Don't, you know, I'm not going to walk around my karate school and say, hey, man, you got to listen to me, man. My name's on the freaking wall, bro.
Yeah.
You know who I am? Look at my belt. What does it say? Mike Guido. Yeah. Whose name's on the wall? Yeah, that's just, you know what I mean?
And you'd mine
be,
is.
And you'd be surprised, man, back in the day, man. That's the way it was, man. It's like, even karate, man, I'm the great grandmaster. I'm going to sit in the corner here. And I know, man, nobody cares how many stripes you got on your belt.
I get you.
Nobody cares. You know, nobody really cares what you've done personally in your accomplishments.
Yeah.
They only really care about how you can serve them. And that's the way it should be, man. I'm a servant. I'm here to help you, right? You're my son-in-law, man. You come to me. How can I help you? That's my goal. Like, how do I get help? What do you need help with? You need some mindset stuff? You need help, you know, with something around the house? You know, what do you need? I'm here for you. That's the key, right? It's a different mindset. To me, it's normal, but to a lot of people, it's a different step outside the box mindset.
Right, so, it is.
Yeah,
it is. Integrity is a big part of what you guys preach over at Mike Guido's Martial Arts Academy. And I feel like this leadership conversation just made me remember that there's such lack of integrity, and it's because we're not being honest with our own selves. I think often too, when we see these leaders provide poor leadership, we're let down, but we have to almost live with it anyways. So we tell ourselves that, oh, it just is what it is, and I feel like we end up in a loop and we lose the integrity part of the equation. We forget that we're just lying to ourselves, and they're lying to us, but we have to be honest about it. So often on this podcast, I feel like I get all wired about they're lying to us, but I have to say it because it is what it is. I don't feel like I'm wrong when I say those things. I feel like I'm 100% right. Honestly, I'm that confident. But if we just decide to say, no, they're telling us the truth, you know, I think that's a mistake. And yeah. I think that we have to see those transparencies.
Yeah.
You know, there's always lies, but sometimes you can kind of be like, oh, well, maybe this person lied about this person lied about this, but there's some truth in the conversation somewhere. But how do you find it anymore? You know, journalism's under attack, we could say, in modern times. And maybe it always has been, you know.
I think when you, and this is one of the battles, right? We all have an agenda, right? All of us, mm-hmm. right? But when your agenda trumps values, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Your agenda trumps values.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
I get what you're saying. It's like, okay, so let's just sell everything out from underneath us. Right. Like, at what point can you keep doing that anymore?
Well, okay, so let's say I've got, and we've been getting, it's that season, right? Let's say we get a student that comes to us, usually it's a kid, comes to us and says, okay, I want to stop doing martial arts. I want to go do football. Right? But I'm a diehard Niner fan. I got season tickets. I love football. I think it's a great sport. Now, the kid that wants to go play football comes to me. Now, this is a kid who is not very athletic. Right? This is a kid who is not very confident. There's a kid that gets picked on in school. He fits all of the main reasons why you should take martial arts. And I've been doing this a long enough time. I understand and I know that there's a very high percentage, not guarantee, high percentage, that kid is going to continue to get picked on. He's going to ride the bench on the football team. And he's going to go through struggles. And then he's going to get out of the habit of, and then the season will end with football. He's out of the habit of doing karate. He won't come back to karate out of either embarrassment because all his other friends are going to be at a higher level than him. You know, the embarrassment of, oh, I quit something and I knew I shouldn't have, but it got hard and that's why I quit it, right? And so now I've got to talk to this kid. Now, do I want the kid to stay with me? Yes. Do we charge for a service? Yes. But personally, I don't care about how many students we have, only to the fact of, in a financial situation, I only care about how many people I can possibly influence, right?
Right.
So when this kid comes to me, I'm going to say, look, man, I'm going to give you some information about why I feel you should continue your martial arts training and along with doing football. Do football, but don't replace them. add martial arts into that, so that way the martial arts will help you in football, help you from not being a bench rider to being maybe a third, you know, second stringer, and then eventually you get to start for the team by utilizing your martial arts. And so, but sometimes I have the opposite situation, right? And the opposite situation is this kid didn't come to us for all those reasons. He's pretty confident. He's got it figured out. And maybe he lacked in a couple areas of development, but we helped him out with that. But this kid is a flat-out natural freaking football player. And he wants to play travel football. I'm just throwing it out there. I think there is a travel football. Let's say there is, right? And he wants to do it. And then they got to train 5 days a week. And then they travel to different places. And this kid's the next freaking Tom Brady. I'm going to look at the kid, man. Even though I want a student, you know, it helps out our business. I'm going to look at this kid. I'm going to shake his hand and say, dude, you know what? I just can't wait to see you on ESPN, bro. And it's been an honor having you here in the karate school. And I appreciate you. And, man, good luck in your future endeavors. And so, but I think what I've been able to do is, because people know that I'm a man of integrity. I'm going to do the right thing the right way when no one's watching all the time. Don't care. I'm going to, if you hang out with me outside the dojo, I'm the same dude inside the dojo. I'm going to be the exact same guy. I'm going to live by my principles and my culture, and this is who I am. And, you know, if you like it, great. If you don't, hey, man, good, you know, all good luck to you. But I'm always going to have that. So I think people understand that. So when people come to me, you know, and I have these conversations with people, and I think that's so important to teach that to people. Like, teach, like, hey, man, have values. Stick to those values. And make sure you're doing things right when no one's watching, because it's easy, man. You know,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Like your boy, he's gonna grow and he's gonna go through a period of time when you're not around, and he's gonna do some dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the integrity teaching comes in.
Right.
And I just don't think that that's taught. I think parents come home and, why did you do this? You shouldn't have done that. Hey, every time I leave, you do what you're not supposed to. I need you to stop. And they storm out of the room. And then a week later, the kid does it again. I don't understand. Well, because you're a parent, and part of your job is to teach, right? And that's why we have a teaching program within our karate school. So when these kids become parents, they don't do that. They sit down and say, okay, let's talk about this. Son, we're going to have a talk about integrity. Do you know what that means? No. Well, then you go down that road with them, and you get to have an integrity conversation. And I just don't think that's taught mainstream. And the thing is that a lot of people, especially the people that we have in our karate school, they understand that they're just flat out not qualified to teach that. They understand that that's what they want. They know how to do it. But because they have a lot of emotion involved, they're like, Mr. Guido, can you and your team, you know, here you go.
The specialist.
The specialist, right? That's what this is what we specialize mm-hmm. in. Mom, dad, listen. If you're listening to this podcast, Symbiosis Now, baby. If you have a child, very simple. I'm gonna say a statement that is the most true statement you will hear. If you bring your child to our martial arts school and they grow up in our school, we will change their life forever. Period. They will be a different person for the better if they train our martial arts. I don't care what time you bring them in at 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, doesn't matter. Have them train through their school years and say, hey, when you're 18, you're done, you quit, have a good day, don't ever do karate, martial arts ever again. Their life will be different. When they go to apply for a job, it'll be the most ridiculously unfair advantage that's ever happened in the history of applying for a job. They'll walk into a job interview, and the other people applying for the job should have never freaking applied, because your kid's going to get it, just because they're going to have intangibles that cannot be matched. They're going to have a way that they're going to be able to look people in the eye and talk to them and have a focus and a confidence and an aura about them that when that person is hiring for a job, they're going to be like, hey, I don't know what it is, but this guy's freaking got it. I don't know what it is, but he's got it. He's the guy. And they're going to go, what do you do? You know, they're going to ask him, what do you do, man? Like, you're so much more confident than everybody else, and it seems like you're so much more well-spoken. What do you do? And the guy's going to look and go, well, I mean, I've just been doing martial arts since I was 6. Oh, shit. There it is. That's it. Everybody, that's the magic that we do in our school. And so you talk about these issues in the world, I in my heart believe that we can help solve those issues by what we do at our martial arts school. It's magical, man. And you know how to kick and punch and have fun, and you'll be strong and flexible, you know, all that good stuff. And you'll have a skill set that can also defend you and your family, right? Like, if you're a parent, guess what? Your kid will be a parent one day as well. And you will be a grandparent. And how much trust do you have that your kid's going to be a good parent and can defend his family? Well, we can help with that. It's cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing, man. I know it sounds deep, but like that's what we do. And that's where the passion comes from. Like, you know, so you talk about like what keeps you going and what keeps you moving and why you get up at 5 a.m. and why do you do all these different things? Well, that's it, man. That's why I do it. It's the passion for that, because I know that at the end of the day, I've got a very limited amount of time on this earth. And what can I do to serve people and help people and get them better? And I have a skill set that I teach to our team, and our team has a skill set, and we can truly change lives all the way across the board. You know, I think it's just a magical thing. I mean, the biggest hiccup I have, man, is we just don't have more schools. You know? So yeah, we're working on that. We're working on expanding, working on getting bigger and better, and that's kind of what our mission is, and being able to serve more people and expand our programs and expand our class times and do whatever we can to really serve our community and make our world a better place.
Dude, Mike, thank you so much for coming on the Symbiosis Now podcast.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for breaking down all these things, because honestly, no one else is better to have these discussions. I feel like I dabble and talk a lot of shit, but like breaking the fourth wall, really saying it how it is, really trying to make an impact in our world around us, influence people in a positive direction, not just to manipulate and use them to a means of some kind of financial gain or something, like, you know, actually making waves of influence, impacting people's well-being, bringing them to a better, elevated way of living their life, I think is really beautiful. And I don't know who else I'd have on that really lives the epitome of that, you know. So I'm very grateful for you to be my father-in-law, but also to come on and let us all know how you really feel.
Thanks, man. It's an honor, man, coming here with you and doing this with you. And you know, and I gotta tell you, man, I have so much respect for you as a human, because of the way you think and the way you present yourself. You know what I mean? Your mind is your mind just doesn't think like the average person. And so I think you can understand, we can have good conversations about this, and just you as a human, man, you're just a great dude, man. And I'm just so honored to be here. And the fact that you're my son-in-law is just a freaking bonus, man. I'm like, you know, I was thinking about this on the way here about, you know, expectations, man. And you either meet them or you exceed them every single day, man. And I'm just so honored to be here and thankful for you to have me on, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Come back on.
Okay, anytime. Yeah, and we can talk about any topic you want, man. We can maybe twist it and not do a martial arts topic and do, you know, we can talk about anything, man.
Check out martial arts, Guido's Martial Arts Academy, folks. Yes, gotta sir. Go get a free trial or something right now.
Clovis, California, baby.
Yeah.